God with us. Amen, amen. Take our Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6, if you will. Ephesians chapter 6. Anybody need a worksheet? Did not get a worksheet? Slip your hand up. One down front here. A few over here. Keep your hand up until they get there. Ephesians chapter 6. Working our way through the armor of God. You know, we talk about these things, and it all sounds good, but I don't know about you, but a lot of us have probably, we've got one more over there, one down here, and there. We talk about these things, and one you're left there, on the way out there, Alan, okay. and we kind of nod our head at these things, and it sounds good, but do you really know what they mean? Do you really know how to put them on? Do you really know how to stand, having done all, to stand, to do what we're supposed to do, and having done all, not just part of it? Kind of like this morning, you know, I wasn't trying to be beat up anybody this morning here, but we do not take the fear of the Lord seriously. We don't take the Word of God seriously. We don't take the actual armor of God seriously. We wonder why it doesn't work, and then they're saying, well, God's not fixing this. We look at that and say, oh, those awful liberal media, that's what they're... But you know what? We do the same thing. All of a sudden, something goes wrong, and then we say, well, God's not fixing this. Now, maybe we didn't have the nerve to say it, but we're thinking it. And a lot of times, because we didn't let God fix it. We kicked him out a long time ago. And then all of a sudden, we're supposed to come back and say, no, what? Sometimes I think he says, no, we're going to go ahead and learn a lesson here. We're going to wait before we fix it. We're going to teach you some things. We're going to let you soak and sour a little bit, if you will. Just let you just kind of simmer a while and see what happens. Sure, wouldn't it be nice if we would do this ahead of time? We could head off so many of our issues and so many of our problems. Wouldn't be where we are in our nation right now if we just keep the Word of God in the forefront of our minds. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10 is where we see the armor of God. And I'm going to roll right into this tonight. We've gone through, I hope you understand about this all being part of the church and not keeping us from fighting one another, all those kind of things. Let me go on. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles, the trickery that accompany us from the devil, the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Those members of the church, the one sitting across the aisle from you, that person in the back, that other, you listen, we're not wrestling, we're not fighting against them, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore? Because of this. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand, to go nose to nose in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Let me back up and say something here. We have no reason to be scared of the devil. We have a reason to be scared of our sin that the devil entices. The devil is defeated, and he can't do any more to us than God allows him to do. We can go nose to nose with him if we're going to stay steadfast in the faith. All we got, listen, Jesus was not scared when he was tempted in the wilderness. He wasn't scared of the devil. He says, I'll tell you the rest of the story, Mr. Devil. I know you're using some scripture here, but the fact is the rest of the story is, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And if I've got the Word of God, and by the way, we have it here in writing, if we have the Word of God, why are we scared of the devil? I love that song, Mighty Fortress. One little word shall fell him. That word is Jesus Christ himself. Verse 13, back again. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. There's going to be some evil days ahead of us. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That's your strength. Truth. You can tell all the lies if you know the truth. You don't have to learn what all the lies are. Just learn the truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, protect your life itself, your very heart. Just live righteously. It spares you all so many wounds and dangers. The breastplate of righteousness. And your feet, when you're walking through life, you're having to deal with day-to-day things, going down the path, have your feet shod with the preparation of the good news, the gospel, the good news of peace. That isolation between us and all the hard and the stones and the broken glass and the hurts of the world is there's a peace that's in your heart that passes all understanding. There's a peace that isolates, it softens the blow. I don't know what the world's going to throw. I don't know how, otherwise it would cut us to pieces. But the peace of God separates us from that mess. We can see it. We can live above it. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, that door, that wall, it really shoots down all kinds of things. Take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Listen, you've got the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You've got the word of God in your heart. When he says, you know what, God doesn't love you. Oh, yes, he does. My word says, his word says so. God's not going to help you through. Oh, yes, he will. You get out of here, you old slew foot. This is not, you don't tell me not, because I know what God has said. Verse 17, and take, receive the helmet of salvation. I'm saved. We're saved. Don't let anybody steal anything. Don't let anything get in there. Don't let it penetrate that. The fact is, you understand salvation. He saved us. He sanctifies us. He's taken to heaven. It's all done. Don't let him mess with your mind. In the night, let me say it this way, and take the sword of the Spirit. Take the helmet of salvation and, thus implies, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let's pray. We're talking about the sword of the Spirit tonight. Father, again, we thank you for your word. And Lord, help me. Lord, I need your Holy Spirit. Let me be a tool in your hand that they may understand your word here this evening. Lord, I want our folks to be able to have done all and stand against the wiles of the devil. Our adversaries walking around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, that we can resist steadfast in the faith, and when we resist him, he will flee. Lord, it breaks my heart every time someone falls, there's a casualty, simply because of one of the wiles of the devil. He's come in and slipped through a little hole, a little crack in our armor, and we've allowed him to take us down with one of his fiery darts. Lord, help us understand. And Lord, I pray that you'll just let us understand how to wield the sword of the Spirit. And Lord, speak to our hearts here. These young folks here, Lord, if they can get these things in their heart, man, they could face life. They have a whole lot more on their plate than we do. And Lord, they need to know the Word of God. Lord, help us to help them to understand the Word of God. And each one of us, some of us have missed some things through the years, and we haven't put it all together. We have to do it all, and we expect that we're going to stand. So, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us here this evening. We need you, and we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let me give you some definitions right off the bat here. On your paper it says, take. Take the sword of the Spirit. The word take there, your first word is receive. To accept that which is given. God has given you a sword for which you use to face the world. And most of it, leave it laying on the table. He's given us a sword. Take it. Receive it. It's kind of like salvation. You know, we wonder, well, how could anybody give up salvation? I think I mentioned last week, there was a lady I spoke to last Saturday, and I got finished giving the gospel. It's kind of like, and the question I usually ask, is, you know, okay, now if God will take you just like you are, forgive your sin and give you a home in heaven, would you let him do it? It was kind of, well, yeah. We take salvation so readily. I had a gentleman in my office this week and struggling with some things, and we talked and we chatted, and about 30 minutes, 35 minutes, we've been through it all, and I said, I asked him the same question. If God will take you just like you are, forgive your sin, and give you a home in heaven, would you let him do it? He said, and kind of a tough guy, with tears in his eyes, he says, yes. Yesterday afternoon, Jack and I were out visiting. We stopped to see a lady, and there was three other people there, grandchildren. Went through the whole thing with them. We got all done. And the one boy, he was kind of tough. I don't need this stuff. I don't need this stuff. We went through it, and actually, good old grandma says, come over here and listen. But he, you know, he's driving a truck. I mean, he's not a little kid anymore. He's driving a truck and this kind of stuff. He says, I don't need that. You know how I am, grandma. I don't need this. He says, come on over here. You need to hear this. And we sat down, we chatted, we went through the whole thing. And I said, and I looked at him, I said, well, if God will take you just like you are, forgive your sin and give you a home in heaven, would you let him do it? He kind of looked up and he smiled. He says, four people there on the front porch pray to receive Christ. Now listen, we receive salvation by grace through faith. That gets us to heaven. That's a wonderful thing. But the fact is, we've got to live here on this crazy earth until we go. Now, I'm ready to go, but I really don't want to go in the next load. I've got stuff I think God wants us to do. But while we're here, we have to deal with that old devil himself who's walking around trying to devour us, trying to get rid of us. And the fact is, God says, I'll give you a sword. And we don't. Oh, we carry it around, but we have no idea how to use that thing. We need to receive the sword. Number two, it says sword. Just kind of follow my logic as we go along here. It's a knife. It's from the word controversy. A little sword fight, if you will. There's a controversy. It means a fighting. It means a striving. The word you're looking for there is dagger. Now, a dagger is not a great big sword, but it is a sword. It's almost a concealed weapon. When I was out of Hiles Anderson College and they teach you how to go soul winning, they tell you got to keep a concealed weapon right there. That's where your soul winning New Testament goes. Keep a concealed weapon. And said, and you know, walk if you walk up there with your family Bible, they probably aren't going to answer the door. You know? The fact is, in the book of Acts, you know where they kept their concealed weapon? They didn't have a Bible to use in the first century. They had the Torah, most of the New Testament. The Romans Road wasn't even written yet. They had it in their heart. He said, tarry in Jerusalem, you'll be endued with power. Every other Holy Spirit has come upon you, you should be witnesses unto me. Give the word of God with the power of the Holy Ghost. It's possible to lead somebody to Christ just like that. The word of God is not just a book. It's not a novel. It's the word of God, but it's empowered by the Holy Spirit. The author of the book can go with you. And that still small voice can speak to the hearts of people as you take it. But we have it. We might as well take it. I've had people who said, well, I can't read. Or I've got folks that, you know, this, or whatever. And I've went ahead and pointed to it and said, well, I want you to know I'm not pulling this out of my hat here. This is the Bible. I want you to know the best I can. This is what the Bible's saying. We have a sword. Listen, the sword can cause a controversy. The sword can cause a controversy in our own heart. See, there's a lot of things in our own heart. Deceit in the heart is deceitful above all, desperately wicked. Who can know it? But the Lord searcheth the heart. And you know what? That's exactly what he does with the word of God. The word of God is sharp as any two-edged sword, dividing asunder. Listen, it knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Sometimes the sword of the Spirit, sometimes it's working on us as much as it's working on the person we think that's attacking us. Listen, our enemies are the world, the devil, and the flesh. Sometimes we've got to use the sword of the Spirit against our own flesh. There's sometimes we've got to cut up that thought. We've got to bring every thought into captivity, into obedience to the Word of God. We've got to use the sword of the Spirit. It can cause a controversy. The sword can, watch, the sword can slice up the controversy in our own hearts, but also can slice up the controversy in our heart caused by others. People come to us and they say, well, this is so or this is so. Slice that up. Don't let that hurt you. You see, that's where Satan does his damage, in our heart. In our mind, he gets us thinking about the wrong thing. As a man thinketh, so is he. Paul said, think on these things and be any virtue, any praise. Think on these things. Get away from that mess. Listen, it messes with our mind. And listen, those attacks in our mind can be sliced up. The controversy they cause can be just thrown right out the door, cut into confetti, because the Word of God says what this is what truth is. It's the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Turn to the book of Acts real quick. Just want to show you, not going to spend a lot of time here, but I'll show you to you, Acts 5. I could spend a lot of time here, but just show you. Acts chapter 5, verse 30. Acts chapter 5, verse 30 says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Verse 33, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of law, had a reputation among all the people, commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. He goes on and says, you know, this is nothing. Don't worry about it. But if this is of God, you can't stop it. Now listen. The Word of God can cut to the heart. That doesn't fly real well in our feel-good mentality of church going these days. But that's why we're in the problem that we're in. There's surgery should have been done years ago, and now it's almost too late. But the fact is, we can do some surgery on those where it's not too late. Listen, you're here, it's not too late. We confess our sins, he's faithful and just, forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Boom, done. It's not too late. That old Word of God can cut and slice the lies up until there's nothing left. If you turn over to Acts chapter 7, verse 54, it's talking about Stephen, and he had just preached the message. And, of course, they didn't want to hear it, and they stopped their ears. We've been talking about this in Sunday school on Sunday mornings here. But it says, and when they heard these things, chapter 7, verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. The dagger did its job. And that, watch. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God standing on Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Now you say, well, wait a minute, Stephen died. The sword of spirit didn't do him any good. I didn't say the sword of spirit's going to necessarily save your life. I said it divides between truth and falsehood. It does a work. The sword of spirit sometimes is mostly working on our own hearts. We need to receive the surgery that it does. We need to take the sword of the Spirit. Receive it. See, we think we're out here cutting everybody else up. It cuts down falsehood. It's never intended to cut up people. Verse number three on your paper there, it says of the Spirit. This is the sword of the Spirit, not of the flesh, but of God. It's the sword of the Spirit. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, in Galatians 5 I'm reading, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now watch. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, and revelings, such like, which are, I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. He says this is the sword of the Spirit. Sometimes the flesh can get in some of the greatest churches, and they take the sword of the Spirit and use it in the flesh. They use it to just slice people up, cut them up to shreds. In fact, sometimes it's almost, I don't know if you've heard, it seems like independent Baptists are only ones that kill their own wounded. Somebody gets hurt, and all we start doing is start throwing them out. Well, they ruined the purity of the church. That happened when we walked in the door. You know? On the other hand, we're not saying we don't deal with purity. This is, we need to deal with sin. We need to be heading for purity. I understand that. But listen, it's in the heart of every one of us to be a sinner, maybe a murderer. How many times have you seen somebody fall and said, I just can't believe they did that? It didn't happen overnight. They allowed that sin just to kind of sit in there and creep and simmer until it became to a boil, and they blew the lid off, and off they went. This is the sword of the Spirit. It's not the sword of the flesh. We've all been guilty of doing something righteously, but doing something for righteousness' sake in the flesh. Chances are we've all disciplined our children sometime or another, which is a good thing, but did it in the flesh. The Muslims are not our enemy. They're victims of the enemy. They've had the wool pulled over their eyes. There's a God-sized hole in everybody's heart that only God can fill. Listen, you start telling them about forgiveness, a God who loves them with an everlasting love. Listen, I remember knocking on doors out in Chicago, and I came across this one door, and this teenage Muslim girl came to the door. And I started talking to her. I was outside, she was near the door. Finally, mom said, "We can't hear this." You should have seen the look on her face, because we had already gotten into John 3:16, God so loved the world. And she wanted to hear what I had to say. There was an emptiness in her heart. She wanted to know truth. I went back again. Mama caught me again. After that, they had a peephole. They wouldn't come to the door anymore. I could see the peephole going to go dark. This is the sword of the Spirit. Number four, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God. The utterance, the matter, the topic. Watch, interesting word. The dispute of God. The dispute of God. Look at it this way. The world says this and this and this and this and this. But God said. You can't argue with truth. Truth is truth. But God said. God said it. That settles it. It's all over. The matter is settled. It is the Word of God that can both stop any controversy in our heart. Watch. That has come from others and also can cause a controversy in our heart over truth when we don't want to hear truth. The same sun that bakes bricks, hardens bricks, softens butter. The Word of God can do mighty things. It can. You can feel like it heals you, or you feel like it cuts you up. It's the Word of God. The Word of God takes, watch, it takes the bite out of the lies of the world, out of the bite out of the flesh and the devil. I know what the world says, but the Word of God says, zip, 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 I don't have to worry about that. Throw it out, it's trash. Slice it up. The Word of God can slice and dice us on the inside, though, with truth when we're going on, when we're trying to go our own way. He's trying to save us from the problem. Now let me start over here again in number one. That was kind of the introduction. When did you know what the verse? Number one, the Word of God is a spiritual weapon. It's a spiritual weapon. I don't know what that Ephesians 12 and 13 is supposed to say. That's probably not right on what that was. That's a good question. I wonder what that was. Oh, verse 12 and 13. Well, maybe so. Let's see what it says. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. There you go. Against spiritual wickedness. She reads my mind. My wife and I are one mind. She's using it tonight. Anyway, against spiritual wickedness in high places, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that we're able to stand in the evil day. It's a spiritual weapon because it's against a spiritual foe. The sword of the Spirit is not for cutting up people. It's not for cutting up souls, but it's for destroying falsehoods which hurt people. You see what I'm saying? It's for destroying the falsehoods which hurt people. 2 Corinthians 10, did I give you that one? It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, flesh, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Watch. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when the obedience is fulfilled. Now watch me. Listen, the world gives us some kind of falsehood, and we take the sword of the Spirit and say, that's not true. Boom. Take that thought. We're going to put it into captivity. It's not going to be, and by the way, you can't get out. I'm standing with my sword. That thought's not coming back out. I'm guarding it with a sword. It's bound up. It's chained. I don't need falsehood. I don't need it taking me down because, listen, I'll guarantee you, probably just about everybody in this church, one time or another, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to talk to God. I won't do this because there was stuff in your mind. Maybe it was bitterness. Somebody didn't treat you well. Somebody told you it doesn't mean anything to go to church anyway. There was something that went into your mind. Paul says, ye hath run well. Who hath hindered you? Who hath? Didn't say what, says who hath hindered you. Somebody's been messing with your thoughts. You take out the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, you start slicing that stuff up, there's nothing to it. But a pile of rubble. The Word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, can change who and what we are. The Word of God can change others. But we are not wrestling in the realm of the flesh and blood, but in the realm of the supernatural, in the spiritual realm. We need the Word of God. Now, make sure you understand this. The Word of God is not like any other book. It's not just the words of men. There's more to it. It's deeper. It's powerful. And the Spirit is behind it with the dagger going. Takes it down to the heart of the matter. Sometimes God has to do surgery. But if we lay on the table real nice and still, we'll be glad when it's all over. If you fight it, we're going to make a mess. Number two, the sword of the Spirit is not an offensive weapon. You say, well, you know, it's the only one of offense. Everything else is defense. I'm not so sure that's true. We're taking the word, listen, just like the feet shy of the gospel of peace, this is the armor of God that we are able to stand in the evil day. Our goal is not to slice people up. Letter A there. We are not to use the sword to purposely offend others. Listen, there's arrogance sometimes in religiosity. And we get scared. When I was at, don't ever forget where I am here because I probably will. But when I was in college the first time, I went to Western Maryland College down in Maryland. It had a lot of old trees, been there for a long time. And there were squirrels all over this place. And you just got used to being the squirrels. And there was these sidewalks out through the yard from building to building. And one day, I'm just going from class to class. And I kind of walked past this squirrel, and I didn't think anything about it. Well, he ran, went up a tree, came out on a limb, and looked me square in the eye. And he started to yell at me. I mean, I don't know what in the world I had done. I thought he was going to jump on me. Honest, I did. Now, usually the squirrels are just fine. You back a squirrel in the corner, they'll attack. And sometimes we Christians will do the same thing. We don't know the sword very well. Or let's say our loins are not girt about with truth as well as they should be. So we're not as strong as we should be. That's our strength. Learn gourd, okay? And so what happens? All of a sudden we get a little bit intimidated and we attack. And we take the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and say, well, I don't know about you, but you're going to hell because that's what happened to you. I told him. Yeah, that's right. I tell him, boy, I sure hope he gets saved. Yeah, I bet that's going to happen. We take the word of God and start ripping people to pieces. Now, wait a minute. You say, well, you did that this morning. When you come into the room here, you're saying, tell us what the Bible says. So that's what we're doing. Now, when you're just talking to somebody, I don't do that. I don't knock on the door and say, well, I'm sure glad you're not opening the door because you're going to break hell wide open. Good thing I'm here. Oh, come on. I had a preacher, good guy. I mean, he was a good guy. And he was all upset. He says, you know, all those preachers down at the National Sword Conference ought to all apologize to everybody for the way they preach down there. I said, why is that? Well, they talk about this and this and this, and you go home and do it in your church. It doesn't work that way. Well, they were preaching to preachers. It's kind of like a drill sergeant training the rest of the recruits when you go there. But a drill sergeant can't go into a house with kids and start treating everybody like he's the drill sergeant, they're recruits. Got to be careful with that. The sword of the Spirit is the Spirit. You speak the truth in love. This is not our sword to wield as we please. God doesn't give us the sword of the Spirit to throw at one another. Well, you know what? If they were righteous, they would do this. And I'm going to take the sword of the Spirit and I'm going to give them a jab. Before long, you're jabbing these, but they were jabbing him. Blood's flying everywhere. Watch. Should we bite and devour one another? Won't be anybody left. That's not what he's talking about. Listen, I think more than anything, the sword of the Spirit is for us to keep the falsehood that's coming into our circle here to spare ourselves, to tear up the mess and the truth so that we don't get taken down by the falsehood. Some folks have ripped up their children this way. They have. And you know what? If you've cut them up like that, maybe we need to go back and apologize. Proverbs 22:6 says this, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Doesn't say beat the child into submission. Doesn't say,
I'm going to make them write Bible verses for 15,000 times and they're going to get that right. Verse 8 said, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. What's you saying? If I try to train my kids in anger, what I'm sowing is anger. I'm going to reap a bunch of nothing. Vanity. Nothing. I will have accomplished nothing. And the rod of his anger shall fail. I will have failed at what I was trying to do. And we probably have all messed up somewhere in that. Wish I was taught this when I was 15, so I wouldn't have done so many stupid things when I was 25 trying to raise kids. Sorry, Sterl. Verse 15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. The rod of correction. What's that mean? It's like the shepherd's rod. He doesn't beat the sheep to death. He uses the rod to limit their options. Nope, we don't go over there. Nope, we don't do that. Nope, we don't go do this. Well, that's a lot of work. Yep. And the child's worth every minute of it. And you'll be glad 18, 19, 20 years later that that's what you did. I've really enjoyed getting to know Tom, your son. Laura, too. I really have. I've really enjoyed getting to know them. And not that it was a big surprise, but I really did enjoy. And the fact is, you know, I'm just kind of saying it, I like their kids. I do. Now, we got a lot of good kids here, don't get me wrong. But, you know, just saying, you know, you do what you got to do, you know. And sometimes I'm sure they thought they were being hard on them. I'm sure some folks thought you were being hard on them, thought you were being unreasonable. The sword is not to be offensive. Letter B, the sword of the Spirit simply wields the truth. It wields, it throws around the truth. Truth slices up and destroys falsehood. Wherever the falsehood is found, and whether it's in another person's heart or in our own heart, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, what it's doing is using truth to get rid of falsehood. Number three, the sword of the Spirit is not a destructive weapon. It's kind of similar to what I've talked about here, but hang tight with me. The sword of the Spirit is not a destructive weapon by nature. In other words, it wasn't, when I say it that way, that's not how God designed it. Letter A, the sword of the Spirit is not used to destroy others, but to bring others to the knowledge of the truth. To bring others to the knowledge of the truth. There's times when there's infection in our bodies and there's nothing we can do but slice it open and take it out because the infection is going to kill us. You've heard me tell my story. My big surgery story is my appendix. Oh, 20 years ago, I guess now. Thing started leaking. And fact is, they said, we got to take this thing out or it'll kill you. So they sliced me open. I got a good old scar like that. Otherwise, I'm perfect. But big old scar like that, you know, and they sliced that thing open. And the fact is, they couldn't do it laparoscopically, even though they did those kind of things back then, because it was so full of infection, they had to kind of ease that thing out. Now, I'll be honest with you. I didn't like the idea, but I really didn't like the pain. And to be honest with you, I wasn't looking to go, as I said, go on the next load, so I figured they're going to have to take it out for me to live for a little while. I guess they better take it out. So I had to put my life into the hand of the surgeon, knowing that he was going to actually slice me open, get in things in the dark, down there in the dark. How does he know where all that stuff is? I remember when Sterl was born. Sterl was bigger than the rest of our other babies by about 2 pounds. And poor Janet, she was in labor for 12 hours and nothing was moving. She was shot, I mean, just worn out. We'd been there all night. And the doctor says, I think we're going to have to do a C-section. So they got her all prepped and away we went into the operating room. The fact is, I was supposed to go through the movie so I could be in there with them, but they said, I'll just come on in. And so I sat there, and they put this little thing in front of her so she couldn't see what was going on. But she, you know, they gave her a spinal, so she was awake. And I'm sitting there at her head, but I could see over this barrier, this tent. And I watched as they took the scalpel. I don't know how, I ran a drill in my hand one time and I fainted from that. But this one didn't bother me. I don't know what that was about, but I saw that. But the fact is, if we were going to take care of both of them, we had to do what we had to do. We had to invade the depths of who we are to take out the junk, to get rid of the infection, so that life can actually be better after the recovery. We need to let God take the sword of the Spirit. He is the perfect, he's the great physician, and let him slice us if he has to do the work of God. It's not a destructive weapon. Letter A, the sword of the Spirit is not to destroy, but to bring others to the knowledge of the truth. Listen, God's not willing that any should perish. Jesus did not seek to destroy Satan at the temptations. You notice that? Jesus did not seek to destroy Satan at the temptations. Jesus, you think about it. He actually patiently reminded Satan of the truth. Now, there's no greater adversary than Satan himself. If Jesus can be patient with Satan, whom he knew would never come to the knowledge of the truth, how much more should we be patient and give out the truth to others, even if we think they're probably a lost cause? We don't know. That young man yesterday afternoon, he had a T-shirt that said, Hellbent. And you know what would have been real easy for us to be intimidated and say, well, I'm not going to try to talk to him. Oh, come on. Come on over here. Let's go sit down here. We'll do this thing. And of course, his grandmother. She had a little extra pool probably than I did. But there's been times when you do that. Letter B, Jesus was full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Whether the sword breaks us or strengthens us is determined by whether we receive the truth or reject it. Either way, it is for our good, and we must first be broken before God can use us. But the fact is, we need to wield the sword with grace. Number four, the word of God renders the weapons of the adversary useless. I love this. The word of God, the sword of the Spirit, renders the weapons of the adversary useless. Letter A, the sword of the Spirit is used to resist the devil. Stop him in his tracks. How do we resist the devil? Steadfast in the faith. Faith cometh by and hearing by the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The wiles of the devil, the trickery, the little sly subtleties. Slice it right up, the word of God. He came to Adam and Eve and they didn't have their sword ready. He told them some things and they bought it. He came to Jesus and tempted him and the word of God was ready. And everything he threw at him was worthless. And what happened? After that, he went away for a season. He'll be back. We resist the devil by being steadfast in the faith, and our faith is only as effective as the object of our faith. And like I said, they're in temptation of Jesus Christ in Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What's going to keep you alive? The word of God. The sword of the Spirit.
I don't have to be taken down by the falsehoods of this world. The wiles of the devil can wound us, can cause us to stop. The wiles of the devil are his deceit and his trickery and that he brings with him as he accompanies us in life. Comes along, the wiles of the devil. And the word of God slices up his tricks like confetti. When we compare the lies of the devil with the truths of the word of God, and the cutting words of Satan fall apart when we respond to Satan's jabs with the truth of God's word. We will fight. Listen, when old devil comes out with his sword, you start coming out with truth, it's going to slice his up like his is made out of styrofoam. Satan's words no longer affect us when his daggers have been sliced to bits by the word of God. One little other thing there, I won't go get into it all, but Jesus will use the sword of his word to win the ultimate battle. You go back and it says, and he comes back and it says, on him it says, the measure of the word of God. He's going to put down Satan himself and all the imps that's with him with the word of God. Listen, this is not just thoughts like every man else, every other man's book. This is the word of God. It does not return void. It will do what's been sent out to accomplish. Number five. The sword of the Spirit is only as strong and effective as our faith in the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is only as strong and effective, as our faith in the Word of God. I saw something back here. I'm going to go get this real quick. Hang tight. Watch this. I think it's still there. It sure is. Some of us are carrying a sword that's not worth any more than this. It has the form of godliness but denies the power thereof. We throw it around as if we're somebody real smart. But the fact is, we don't know enough of the Word of God to give it any strength, resistance at all. And someone comes in and gives us some thoughts or two, well, maybe that's true. Well, maybe we've been wrong. We were listening to somebody the other day on the radio, WDAC, and he started giving the reasons why he believes in a mid-trib rapture. And he started giving the reasons for it. And the fact is, there are some people who say, well, maybe he's right. Well, maybe he's right. Now, if you know the Word of God, everything he said went right out the window. Jack and I were looking at the thing. Do you remember this? We were in, right? Yeah. And he said, but this is what the Bible says. Well, I think so. But this is what the Bible says. And I think, well, this couldn't be because this. But this is what the Bible says. And you know what happens? And the guy probably meant well, but he's been duped. And so he comes on and says, oh, well, he's real smart. And he's on he's on the radio. Our preacher's not. So, listen, he must be an expert because he comes from more than 50 miles away and carries a briefcase. So maybe he's true. You know what? If he's right about that and the preacher's wrong about that, well, then what else the preacher says is not right? What else that the Bible says is not right? And before long, we start throwing out the whole thing, and our sword isn't worth a hoot. We've lost it. We can wield a sword as much as we want, but if we have taken all the sharpness away from it, all the stiffness of it, it does very little good. If you really don't have faith in the Word of God, swinging the Word of God at your troubles and your enemies is not going to do much. There's going to be little consolation. Janet has a baseball bat under the bed when I'm out of town. What if her baseball bat was a wiffle bat? Wiffle ball bat. Oh, it could sting. It's not stopping anybody. And if our If what we know about the Word of God, we don't know anything, or we don't really truly believe it, our sword is pretty well worthless. This is the sword of the Spirit. Watch this. The sword is not much good against spiritual adversaries if it's the sword of Sterling Walsh. Where's your faith? The power of God must be the power behind the sword. Number six. This might seem a little strange for you, but just hang tight. Number six. The sword is our rest. R-E-S-T. Rest. She sleeps better with a baseball bat under the bed. I don't know whether she could actually use it on anybody, but she sleeps better with a baseball bat underneath the bed. You know what? When we have the Word of God, we've got the sword. Why am I scared what man can do unto me? Why am I scared what the devil can do unto me? There are so many people who spend their entire lives being scared of the devil. Oh, fear God and keep His commandments. That's the whole duty of man. Then He does the work. He's our rest. The Word of God does our fighting for us. I don't have to justify anything. The Word of God says this. That's where I am. Well, listen, it's the Word of God. Who are you going to do, fight God? Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That word offend means to cause to stumble. Cause me to stagger, to take me down. I don't have to worry about being taken down if I've got the Word of God. Grace, peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. Turn, you have the Hebrews 4 passage? Yeah, you do. We're almost done. Oh, did you see that coming? We're almost done. Hebrews 4, verse number 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into this His rest, any of you should seem to come short of. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Same word of God. Same sword of the Spirit. But it says that it was no good because it wasn't mixed with faith. The faith, if you take the faith out of the sword, all you've got is fluff. So I've got the Word of God. Do you have faith in it? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Do you know the Word of God? Do you stand on the Word of God? Listen, our strength is the truth. Above all, take the shield of faith. It all goes together. For unto us the gospel was preached as well unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works, and in his place again. If they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached, entered not in because of unbelief. We're not enjoying the presence of God. We're not enjoying the blessings of God. We're not enjoying the peace of God. We're not enjoying the rest of God if we do not put our faith in God. Verse 7. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time as it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. What's he saying? Take, receive the sword of the Spirit. It's there. But if we're not willing to put some strength in it, put some work in it, we're not going to have it. Verse 8, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. If you're resting in Jesus, in the sword of the Spirit, then you're not trusting in yourself. You're trusting in the Word of God. Why can we have rest? Why can I have peace? Because I've taken my salvation, I've taken my eternity out of my hands, put it in the hands of God. Now, if I can do that with my salvation, why can't I take my life out of my hands and put it in the hands of God? I'll tell you why. Because now we have to obey Him. Now we got to do what He says. We've just given our life away. Now He's got to tell us what to do. So we'd rather keep it in our hands and take our chances, instead of receiving the sword of the Spirit. Verse 11. Let us labor, therefore. Let's work at this. This is what I want to work at. Not trying to fight everybody on my own. Labor, therefore, to enter into the rest. I've got to labor at building my faith. If I build my faith is in Him, I get the sword. My work is working at yielding to Him, giving myself to Him, learning the Word of God, learning to fear Him. That's the work. It is work. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's work. But you know what we'll do? We'll work at all these other things, trying to do it on our own, when really what we should do is work at trusting, instead of working at doing it ourselves. Verse 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. He said, you're all going to fall just like the rest of them did when they tried to live without faith. Verse 12, for the word of God, see, that verse didn't come out of nowhere there. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and let it slice up all the falsehood. Let it bring to truth all that is real and honest. Neither is there any creature that's not manifest in His sight. Let's look at it this way. There's not one person that can fight against the Word of God. They may say, well, it didn't mean anything to me. Inside, God's doing His surgery. Now, they may decide, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to yield to it. I don't have anything to do with it. That's their choice. But God's word does not return void. Neither is there any creature that's not manifest, shown, fully exposed in His sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him whom we have to do. Seeing then, we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Don't let go of this. Don't let your sword get limp, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with our feelings, our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in a time of need. I've got a weak sword. He says, come to me. I'll teach you my word. I'll give you my strength. And when the word of God comes up and somebody tries to threaten the word of God, the sword of the Spirit will just slice it up like nothing. Boldly to the throne of grace. Our passage in Ephesians, when it says, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Is don't, listen, work at building your sword. The way to slice up the enemy is not by dismembering them. We slice up the adversary with the word of God. We may save their life. Nothing can stop the word of God. It will not return void. Listen, often our greatest enemy is the sin within our own hearts. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, can destroy the sin in our own heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So the sword of the Spirit fights the real battles that rage in the hearts of men. This is not a physical battle. This is not a mental battle. This is not even an emotional battle. Even though the battle that rages may actually affect our minds and our bodies and our emotions,
The battle is against our spirit, and God fights that battle within our spirits. Only the Word of God can win the battle within our hearts. Stop trying to win your battles with your intellect, your reasoning, your mental abilities. Stop trying to just toughen up and win the battle with your physical fortitude. Stop trying to deal with the attacks with your emotions, convincing yourself, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay, I can handle it, I can do it. Come in, just pump me up, preacher, and I'll do it again. The sword you need is the sword of the Spirit, because this is a spiritual battle, and the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Father, thank you again for speaking to us this evening. Thank you so much for the sword of the Spirit. Lord, help our folks to take it, receive it. All the armor of God. Father, speak to us. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Lord, spoken to your heart this evening. The altar's open now. You can come. The piano organ's going to play as soon as they're ready.